yeah, today's society is really bubble wrapped.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff, the Scout podcast by Scouts, for Scouts and the wider Scouting community. Today is a special occasion as it's our first in-person recording, and who better to have than a local explorer leader and podcaster extraordinaire, Mr. Mark Adams. Hello, Mark.
Hello. I'm not sure podcaster extraordinaire is fair, but thank you anyway. Yes, I am the local explorer leader and I've been doing that for about 18 months.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself then.
So I started scouting when I was a kid and I went all the way through beavers to cubs to scouts and then it was venture scouts at the time. And then I was involved with scouting for about 15 or 20 years. And I came back as a leader when I was pressed down by your former guest, Sonia Whitehead.
So you've had some experience with the leaders here then?
Yeah, she's a friend and we've done a lot of scouting. I think I've been back involved in scouting for about 6 or 7 years now, maybe 8. I've got my 5 year service, I know that.
Excellent. So I'm going to hand you over to Erin, Andrew and Oscar. And
hello.
They're going to have a bit of a quiz with you. Take it away, guys.
Would you say that anything has changed from the time that you were a scout to being a scout leader?
Very much so. I wouldn't be involved with scouting if it was what it was when I was a scout, because it was exclusively Christian, it was not particularly friendly to gay people, and it was a little bit more kind of military and strict in the 80s when I started it, and none of those things really suit me, so I'm much more comfortable with the inclusivity that we have in Scouts these days. I'm very much on board with that kind of a vibe.
Yeah, it's very integrated into society, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, as a gay man who was bullied at school for that, and probably bullied at Scouts if I'm being completely honest, I feel like I can make a difference because of, let's hopefully say, being a reasonably good role model, and being a more modern Scout leader than the leaders I had at the time, I suppose.
Yeah, anyone can really change the world, can't they?
Is there anything that you particularly like about today's scouting that really stands out for you?
I like what's been retained from what I enjoyed as a scout, being put in a more modern kind of a world, I suppose. What I like about scouting the most, I think, is that everybody's encouraged to give anything and everything a go. And I'm terrible at knots, but I'll give it a go. I'm quite good at cooking. I'll encourage other people to give it a go. And I really like the camaraderie and the kind of group support that scouting encourages. Because you might have someone who's really great at this thing, but really terrible at this other thing. And with the thing they're not very good at, there's someone there to help them. With the thing that they're great at, they can teach. And I love that kind of community feel and the interdependency and the support that scouting just champions.
Yeah, I personally would say it's improved.
Is there anything you sort of miss from like old scouts?
I mean, I didn't have to write risk assessments, but neither did the leaders at the time, really. It was a lot more, what are we doing today, kids? Let's do something really, really dangerous. I haven't written a risk assessment. And I absolutely support risk assessments, but my goodness, nobody, any scout leader that tells you, oh, I love a risk assessment, me, lies. And you're not supposed to lie in scouting. A scout is to be trusted. And so nobody wants to write risk assessments, but I completely understand why. So perhaps the red tape is something that maybe I miss, I guess.
Yeah, today's society is really bubble wrapped. What are you looking for the future in scouting?
What am I looking for in the future? Carry on. Sorry.
Was I not supposed to say that?
You sound like a grumpy old 42-year-old. Cut that out, Steve.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I forgot
what the question was.
What do you think the future of scouting will hold?
I think, as I've touched on, perhaps a little bit flippantly, there are certain scouting values that will always stay, however more inclusive and modern scouting becomes, and that is teaching young people how to do cool outdoorsy stuff, how to learn really important life skills that there just isn't the time for on the national curriculum when you're at school. And let's be honest, the stuff we do in Scouts is cool and fun, and you're not following the national curriculum, so you can do it when you want, as your own pace. Obviously, you're guided by the Gold Chief Scouts, the Silver Chief Scouts, or any of the Chief Scouts Awards. But fundamentally, I think scouting is about giving opportunities to all kids that want it to come and have a go at really cool stuff, learn while you're doing it, and have just the best time. And I think that is something that whatever changes might happen in scouting, positive changes like bringing in girls or not being linked to the church anymore and allowing secular and other religious groups to have their own scout groups, all these are incredibly positive changes. But the fundamental scouting cool stuff hasn't and won't ever change, I don't think.
Nice. What do you think? How do you think Scouts compares to Explorers?
That is a very good question for an Explorer leader. So, in Scouts, I think as you progress from Beavers to Cubs to Scouts to Explorers, you get more and more responsibility for your own programming, more responsibility for what you're doing. And Scouts, it gets to the point where you are very heavily encouraged to go for the Gold Chief Scouts. You're given a lot of independence to achieve it, a lot of advice and a lot of guidance, but ultimately, if you don't achieve the Gold Chief Scouts, if you've been a relatively stable scout group with a decent group of leaders who know how to guide you in the right directions, the only people responsible for not achieving a Gold Chief Scouts are the young people, are the scouts. In Explorers, it takes it to the next level where essentially the adult leaders, to some extent, are just there because it needs to be supervised. There is it's a next level of doing your own programming. If you don't want to work towards the Platinum Chief Scouts, you don't have to, and I won't get on your case like I might have done if I was your scout leader. And other than that, there's things like potentially doing more adult stuff like paintballing, but I think you can now do paintballing in Scouts as well, if I remember rightly.
I think you can, but it kind of defeats the ethos of you're not allowed to shoot at a living target.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. True.
Which they allow you to do it, but they don't allow you to do it.
Yeah. But so it's more a taking responsibility for your own scouting, but it's okay if you want to be a little bit more casual. It's completely understandable. If you're doing your GCSEs, you're doing your A-levels, I am not going to get on your case if you're staying at home and revising. And I'm not going to kind of continuously poke you. You need to do this for your Gold Chief Scouts. You need to do this for your Gold Chief Scouts. Whereas I did when I was a scout leader, I was a bit more kind of naggy as a scout leader compared to what I'm like as an explorer leader. Still sarcastic. And I was sarcastic as a scout leader.
So people just grow up more to do more.
Yeah, that's the idea, isn't it? At 14 and a half to 18, you are young adults. You're not... I am terrible, and scout leaders shouldn't do it, but I do. I refer to the young people as kids, and a lot of us do that, and we shouldn't. It's naughty. We should be universally referring to you as young people. So if I have said kids on a podcast, slap my wrist, I'm an annoying boy. But it is like treating young people like you're adults. I will treat you like you're an adult. I will treat you like you're an adult until I have to. Until your behaviour means I have to treat you like a child. If you do something really dumb, if you do something you know you shouldn't be doing and you shouldn't have done, then yes, I'll treat you like a child. But until you break my trust, I will treat you like the young adult that you are, the responsible young person that you are. And I very strongly believe in the idea of young people leading what they want to do in Explorers and young people taking responsibility as they head towards being an adult, you know?
Nice.
Is there anything you would say you've regretted doing as a scout or a leader?
As a scout, jumping in the river when it was cold. Because it was cold. And I haven't got a towel. And then it was cold.
We're all just laughing here.
Yeah, I'm aware. And did I mention it was cold? I didn't like it because it was cold. And as a leader... I've never had, touch wood, not that I'm superstitious, but touch wood, nothing cataclysmic. I've seen kids injure themselves, and that's no fun. And do I regret that happening? Of course. But do I regret setting the task where it happens? Probably not. It was the kid's fault. It was the young person's fault. So, no, I don't think, no, I don't think I do. I've had such a good time as a scout and as a leader. So no, I don't think I do, actually.
Nice. I've heard you're running your own podcast called Don't Say the C Word. How's that going?
So yeah, I did do a podcast during the COVID-19 lockdown called Don't Say the C Word, like you say, that it was basically something to keep me from being bored because I couldn't do my job. My real life job. Oh, well, and my scouting job, I suppose. And the idea was a podcast once a day, every day. And it turned out that was a bit ambitious, so I did quite a lot of those. And it was just an opportunity, really, to speak to a friend, someone that I like, and have a chat about a random topic that they picked. And I did one with Sonia, who is the GSL at Furzwood Scout Group here, about scouting. And that was a really good one, and that's probably one of the few that you can listen to, because both my friends and I can get a bit sweary. So yeah, it was a fun project, and it kind of kept me busy during difficult times. I think I've got other podcasts too, but again, you probably shouldn't listen to those,
aren't you? Yeah, like, as long as everyone's happy, you know, that's what life's about.
Well, we never recommend that you listen to stuff with swearing in, but if you choose to go away and listen to it, that's your problem.
It was never supposed to be something that my scouts would know anything about. You know, leaders have private lives, or at least they try, and young people like yourselves do find it utterly hilarious to find stuff online about their leaders. If you look hard enough, there is footage of me online being beaten up by a wrestler. So there you go. If you look hard enough, you can find that.
We'll find that one and post it later on.
Please.
I believe I've seen part of that.
I'm sure you have.
Are there any moments in scouting that have particularly stood out for you?
I got invested at a campfire, and that was brilliant. It was the first camp I'd gone on with. At the time, I was with Victoria Park Scout Group, and I'd been there about 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, and it just so happened that the camp we were going on fitted when it was time for me to be invested, so that was really, really cool, invested at a campfire. And I just love camping, which, if you'd have asked me 8 years ago, do you want to go camping? No! And so I think everything about scouting has kind of made me... As leaders, I think it's probably fair to say most of us challenge ourselves as well as the kids, as well as the young people. I don't learn, do I? And I think what scouting's brought to me is it's made me realise maybe I'm not the kind of couch potato that maybe I was before I started being a scout leader. And I think I really cherish scouting. It's been brilliant. Like, something I never expected to happen, and it kind of landed in my lap when I was press ganged by Sonia, which I've already mentioned. And it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me, I think. So no, I can't really pinpoint the coolest stuff. Eating something I've cooked on a fire is cool. I was very, very proud when I organised a game show with my scout group at the time, and they all put in huge amounts of effort, and they put on this show that was 80% brilliant, 10% surreal, and 10% goodness knows what. And it was great, and parents were pleasantly surprised that it wasn't rubbish. I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't rubbish, and I think the young people were pleasantly surprised that it wasn't rubbish. And it was just this brilliant thing that came together after like months of work, and it was great. Yeah, so I think probably the gang shows are what I'm most proud of, because that's more my wheelhouse than camping, because I'm better at arty stuff than campy stuff, perhaps.
Nice.
What would you say your favourite activity is to do with the kids or the young people?
Young people.
What have I done? Oh dear. The next generation of scout leaders are now going to call the young people kids because of me. Terrible influence.
Wow.
What's my favourite thing I've done with scouting? Was that...
I think we've already asked that, actually. I'm great at this.
Favourite activity,
I'm very fond of teaching young people a new game and then the next week saying, you can run that game. As I said to you before, I like the idea of young people learning stuff outside of school that's cool through scouting. And so I like to see that they've listened and they've learnt and they've found something cool that they can then share with their friends outside of scouting, I think.
So there's one for you then. Obviously you mentioned earlier on that when you were a beaver, a corporate scout, it was very sort of religious, almost military-esque type of movement. How is that different now as a leader to when you were a young person going through the sections?
Okay, so I'm a humanist, which means I'm atheist as well, obviously. And my groups have always been what I would describe as secular. It means that you are... The default promise doesn't have God in. And everybody is welcome and included. If you want God in your promise, just let me know. And when I was a young person, it was the opposite. In fact, it wasn't even the opposite. You had to say, do my duty to God and to the Queen. And you don't have to do that anymore. And I think, as a humanist, if that was still a thing, I wouldn't be involved in scouting. Sorry, that was a really, really kind of serious answer, wasn't it? Ask me something about cats, Steve.
I know all too much about your cat. I know its habits. I know it likes to play games.
Her habits.
Sorry, her habits.
You can't be assuming gender now, can
you? She's not doing sense.
You don't know what that cat you've identifies.
Got, you've got the best editing jobs, dude.
No, this is coming over to you.
You can just leave this in.
It's just a lot of snipping, isn't
this
it?
This is conversation, you know?
Yeah, this is what it's all about.
So, how are your cats?
I've only got one cat, and that is clearly a loaded question. I wonder where you got the information about where it came from. She's fine. She's a slightly grumpy old lady these days. I've had her 10 years, so I've had her longer than I've been in scouting, actually. But not by much. I got her not long before I started back on scouts. But yeah, she sleeps a lot because she's old.
Sounds quite young. My cat's 20.
Seriously?
Not me.
Your cat is 20? Does it ever, like, that's insanely old for a cat.
It is.
I think that's older than the Queen.
In cat years, it's over 110.
Yeah, because I think the oldest cat ever was only about 23, 24.
I think it was 34.
Just keep pushing him.
My goodness, that's it. I would like to meet this cat.
He acts like a dog, or a human, or a cross between them. He's like a teddy bear as well. But he's still kind of active, aside from his arthritis.
So not very active then, if he's got arthritis.
No, he's not too bad. He still walks around occasionally, lounges in the sun. Cat stuff, basically. Cat apart stuff. From the claws and climbing.
I thought you said he was a human dog, not a cat.
Morning stroll on the Zimmer frame.
Yeah. I mean, he does all three of them at times. And teddy bear, obviously.
Would you change anything in your explore group or scout group as it is? Do you see room for improvement at all?
I would have infinite money. In all seriousness, I actually like that scouting is done on a tiny, tiny budget, because it means that you have to be creative in the way you think about things. Improvisation's right. You can't throw money at it because you haven't got any. And would I like infinite money? Would I like infinite money? Maybe infinite money for a month. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Improve scouting for a month where we've got infinite money and we can do these amazing things. But I actually think we do incredible, incredible things without money. What would I improve about my Explorer unit?
Hey, you could go on and say...
I'd make them come on friends. Hey?
You could go on and be all happy and be like, all we need is friends. But it's real life. It's
I'd make my explorers turn up on time. I'm being silly. No, I don't think there's much I would improve about scouting. I think, as tempting as infinite money is, thinking about it as I'm talking, I don't think I do want infinite money.
Also, economically speaking, infinite money has almost no worth because it's so common. It has almost no value because you can so easily get it anywhere.
And this is why I talk to people like they're young people, because you're as intelligent as I am.
I mean, he's the smart one.
Economics.
I hate economics.
There's got to be something I would improve. There's got to be.
Better facilities.
Just like on the whole, scouting as a whole. Like attitudes or beliefs or...
No, I genuinely think scouting has come so far since I was a scout. So no, I don't think attitudes and belief is a thing. I guess maybe find a way to get more leaders to reduce the workload on the leaders we have. It is sometimes quite a tough thing that if you're limited on leaders, you're limited what you can provide for the young people. So more leaders. And I don't know how we achieve that, because I'm always nagging my friends and none of them are interested.
So, if you're listening to this podcast and you have any interest in becoming a leader whatsoever, just call us or something.
Absolutely. Wherever you're listening, if scouting sounds fun as an adult, because it is, you get to do all the cool stuff with other people's kids, then you return them and then you have a nice quiet cup of tea. If that sounds good, cool stuff, without then having to deal with young people afterwards. Be a scout leader?
Just a quick promo, you know?
Yeah, at my old...
Shameless self-promotion.
At my old scout hut, every camp, they would make every single person on the camp bring a cake in. And then they'd give them a lift. And they'd maybe serve one or two up to the kids during the camp.
Young people!
The young people. And then the rest of the cakes would be eaten by the leaders. So, you could get yourself a few cakes on these camps if you come and join.
I mean, cake is good, and your scout group is not the only scout group that used to do that. I used to count the cakes when I was a scout.
Oh, they still do it.
And so there you go, that's something else that hasn't changed since I was a scout, is that leaders nick the cakes. Terrible.
You've got to have something with a cup of tea when you want to go to bed.
That's it.
A cup of tea or five.
That's something else I've learned. Young people cannot make a good brew.
I can.
Oh, excuse me. Leave the bag in for more than a minute. Oh,
and don't put the milk in first.
Now that's one thing I won't let my explorers do.
Rachel,
make me a brew.
Did you put the tea bag in the milk?
Oh,
that's awful.
I'm fairly sure it's like
we're proper scouts. We know how to do it.
Right, good.
I mean, not to best standards.
I'm fairly sure she does it as a joke. That's funny.
You're setting yourself up for a massive fall there, because when you do go to explorers, and if you're with Martin, you expect you to make a brew, that's it, you set yourself up for a massive fall.
That's how you make milk tea. Tea bag in the milk.
Wrong. With tea staining.
Wrong. I used to joke that my Auntie Judy would hang the tea bags out on the washing line, and that's what a brew made by a scout tastes like.
Do you reckon you can boil milk like you boil water?
Not in the kettle, that's not a good idea.
No.
No, that would not end up well.
Maybe in a saucepan, but again, I don't think that's a good idea.
A pan would be best, yeah.
But that's what scouting's about. Try it, and
it's
if it doesn't work, do something else.
Just blame anything that happens on scouts.
Does it come warm out of a cow?
Yes.
Depends
on
how long the switch is down.
Yes, it's quite warm when it comes out of the cow.
And that's on thermodynamics.
Yeah, fresh tea. Just dip a tea back in it when it comes out.
To be fair, when I was in the cadets, one of our warrant officers used to do that. He used to boil the whole thing in a pan for about 10 minutes before serving it up, and it was absolutely rancid.
But I think chai tea, when my dad went to India, you would chuck all the ingredients in the pot, boil it, and then serve it. That's how you made it.
They don't use milk though, do they?
No.
I've just got an image of like pure skin on top of the milk from Steve's.
I don't like the skin.
Yeah, it's not great.
Get a spatula and scoop it off.
I don't like it. I really don't.
Hey, it's custard.
How did we start talking about
not.
Milk?
We started talking about brews, didn't we?
It's because we were shamelessly self-promoting leaders. And then we went to brews, and then someone complained about scouts not being able to make the brews, and then putting the milk in first, and then, can you boil milk? And here we are, milk skin.
I reckon we should just leave this in, like...
See, stuff like this I tend to leave in, because it's just honest.
Well, can we make a Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff Bloopers edition?
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Do you know what, you've just given me an idea, I might have to do that.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Alan.
Right, we'll get 10% of the profits though.
What profits?
That's not going to be
any. Precisely.
I'd be a millionaire if you got profits from the
podcast. So, another podcasting related question then. Obviously, you've listened to a few of these podcasts. What's your opinion on it? How do you think they're doing?
I think you're doing incredibly well, and... So, the idea that at 14 you're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, that's got to be cool, right? I think that even when I started scouting 6 or 8 years ago, the idea that young people from my district would be on Spotify doing scouty stuff and doing it as well as you're doing it, it's lovely. It's really amazing that the things that young people can achieve in scouting, and the fact that this is there's what? It's launched at the same time. The official scouting podcast has had 2 episodes and you've had 6, and they've been fun. You've had some great guests and you've had some interesting questions for all of them. This is what scouting's about. It's not just camping and making fires, etc., etc., and doing knots.
And scouty things.
This is a scouty thing. This
yeah.
is a perfect idea, a perfect example of what you can achieve and how scouts can think out the box and do something really cool that will kind of last. That you know, this is going to be there. You're going to be embarrassed in your 30s when people find this on Spotify.
I mean, I might already be embarrassed.
Local celebrities we are.
Oh, yeah.
Ask well, the one if he has any questions for us.
Yeah, well, it is something that you can look back on later in life. So, I remember doing that, and it was fun. Mm. So, and that's the whole point of scouting, really, wouldn't you say, Mark?
Definitely.
So, yeah, do you have any questions for future explorers?
I do, actually. So, the transition between beavers and cubs is normally relatively easy. The transition between cubs and scouts is sometimes a bit difficult because the older scouts are so much bigger than cubs. Now, at 14, 14 and a half, the difference between who you are at 14 and a half and who you are at 18 when you leave Explorers, that's as big, if not bigger, than the transition between cubs and scouts. As a young person, how can leaders help you with that transition, do you think?
Letting you go to both for a few weeks could potentially help, because then you get used to your size people and then slowly transition into larger people, as you could call it.
Which we do. We already do that.
Find explorers with more compatible attitudes to scouting or exploring as the new ones, just to help them integrate, I guess.
Like a buddy scheme?
Yeah.
Almost.
That isn't something we currently do, but we can look at that. That's a really nice idea.
Try and make sure there's people that you already know or have met. Like, so say if they came into Scouts beforehand and just, you know, for a few weeks talk to you, and then, like, when you go up, you can have someone to talk to.
But that's quite difficult because it's either you do or you don't.
Or they could just put them up in groups of people so you know the people that you're going up with.
Yeah, I really like that idea, and it was something that we really wanted to do when we launched the Lonsdale Explorer Unit, was have myself or one of the other leaders and a couple of our explorers come along to a couple of scout meetings at the groups that feed into Lonsdale. And it's something that we're hoping to do in future when there's less restrictive stuff going on. So yeah, okay. I'm glad that I'm thinking along the right lines. Brilliant stuff, thank you.
I quite like the buddy system idea as well.
That's a new one.
That's something that could work really well, especially if you've got a really timid scout.
It's something that happens when you go into a new school. Because when I went into my new school, when I moved into this area, I was given one person who was really nice, who could help me get used to everything before I could make my own friends. And it just helps you get used to the other people there and invited into some things before even making friends.
Yeah.
Laying down the foundation.
I'll definitely look into that. Thank you.
Come on, you must have a few questions for him now.
Come on.
Okay.
Spit them out.
Okay, so what activities from your scout group do you think would transition well for the next 4 years, and what do you think you might not be so interested in when you're a bit older that you're currently doing in scouting?
Potentially murder ball for both of them.
Murder ball?
Because it could be a lot more violent, but it could also, like, yeah.
We don't play murder ball here.
No, not here, but, like, make sure to remove the bit where I say today's society is bubble wrap, please.
No, that's
no,
brilliant.
No,
that's
please.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you will.
That was adorable.
That was brilliant. That stated fact.
No.
I don't know if you noticed, obviously, with each episode we try and find a little sort of snippet from within
the
episode
and
stick it right at the beginning before the intro music.
Oh no,
so
didn't. Today's
bubble wrap is going in. I'm sorry, bubble wrap is going in. The only way you could have topped that in off would have been today's society is bubble wrapped with encased snowflakes. That would have been brilliant.
Are we going to
I've completely lost what we were talking about.
Are we going to force the words out of him?
Oh, I was asking you, did you answer the question I asked you about? Yes, you did, about activities we move up.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure.
Did we answer it fully, though?
I don't think so, fully, but like...
Fully.
Yeah.
Would you continue the podcast? Would you start another one within the Explorers? Do you think?
to young people wanting to do a podcast, they could. When I did a podcasting session with my explorers online, they were all super enthusiastic until I explained to them how difficult it is to edit, how difficult it is to maintain social media, how copyright means you can't use the music that you want and you have to find either copyright-free music, which is inevitably not very good, or make the music yourself or find someone who's good with it. There's a lot that goes into podcasting, and your leader edits this. If you were podcasting in Explorers, would you like to have a wild guess at who would be editing the...
It would be...
It would not be me, it would be you.
Yes, I understand.
It would be us pressuring you to do it.
And you would get nowhere.
Or, no, it would probably be everyone pressuring one person who actually knows how to edit, which would probably be me.
It'd probably get sent over to me just for poops and giggles. Just so Mark can get me back.
But yeah, if you wanted to do a podcast, there's no reason why you couldn't carry it on. But I wouldn't want to step on the Firstwood's toes, really.
It wouldn't be. It wasn't. It was an experiment. We didn't expect it to do so well, to be fair.
Mm. It's a lot of fun. It's cool.
Does it have any listeners?
We've had so far, last time I checked today, we've had 125 listens.
Nice.
Is that
you can thank me for that.
All six episodes.
That's pretty good.
I've been on most of them, I think.
And
so have I. I've been on like three. You were on the second one.
No, I was on two.
I like that you mix it up, actually. Mm. I do like that you mix it up and you have different...
But we're the commoners.
There are too many to have everybody on at once.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to do it anyway.
But eventually this will become like a patrol thing.
Yeah.
It's given to a patrol once a month. We've got 2 weeks to plan, week to record, week to edit and flare it up onto the podcasting sites.
Nice.
But yeah, the listens, like I said, 125 listens, it's been listened to in Italy, Germany, Poland, Australia.
That's Sonia's mom.
Probably. America, and obviously the UK. It's been listened to by quite a good age range as well. It's not just one specific age range. I did share the stats with you the other day.
Do you know how they get all of those stats? Spotify are stealing your details.
Oh, wow.
You ticked a box that said that Spotify can steal your details, actually.
Yes. Oh, yeah, aside from the podcast, what light is the Explorers on?
It depends on the Explorer unit. Lonsdale is on Tuesdays.
Damn it! Why is every Explorer unit on Tuesdays? The Tuesdays is the only night that I can't do, and Oscar's joining me on that.
It's because it's... The honest answer to that is...
So you can...
Any scout group's day and start time is to do with what the leaders can do.
Yeah. Why does everyone do Tuesdays then? It's the one day I can't do. I'm free almost every other day apart from Sunday. Like, how can you get something so wrong that almost everything, apart from up to Didsbury, I can't do because it's on a Tuesday?
I mean, there's...
It's on a Tuesday. Like, why?
There's
how?
A 2 in 7 chance.
So, here's the thing with clashes on Explorers. It's not as important as it might have been with Scouts, Beavers and Cubs. So I've got some young people who have other commitments on Tuesdays, which means they can't come every week, and that's okay. And I'm not going to nag them. And as long as their parents pay subs, they are welcome whenever they want to come. And what a lot of them get the benefit from is basically come in on camps, and any stuff that we don't do on a Tuesday, they'll come to that. So it's very much your decision. If you want to find an Explorer unit that you can go to every week that may not have as many of your friends there, that's your choice. If you want to find an Explorer unit... If your Explorer unit is on a day that you're going to struggle to go to, you will still be welcome whenever you can. But you can't really go and say, I can't do Tuesdays, can you change to Wednesdays? Because the answer will be no.
Yeah, we're not trying to ask people to change. I mean,
we're just ranting about how annoying it is.
I mean, I think like Didsbury Bees, I think it is, or on a Thursday. I mean, it was Trollton as well, but I think they're moving to a Tuesday because they give them more time to plan and set stuff up.
After Beavers.
Is it true that the Cubs here is moving to Thursday because they want explorer leaders or like leader things?
Well, that's that has been a problem. Is a number of groups that meet on a Tuesday can't have young leaders from the group that the from Lonsdale Explorers, and they want they wanted a young leader so much that they moved their time so it didn't clash with us.
How? Is there not a possibility that we could just, like, wear the Explorer's uniform and pretend to be junior leaders here?
Yes. You don't have to be a regular Explorer to be a young leader. If you wanted to just be a young leader, you can. There is a unit that doesn't meet in our district, and I don't know how other districts will do it, but there's a unit that doesn't meet, which is just for the young leaders. You get a separate coloured knicker. You don't have to be an active explorer to have a go at young leading. That is actually a relatively common myth, and that's not true.
So could you join that group and another explorer group?
Yes.
Then?
Could we stay here as young leaders?
Yes, but you'd probably annoy the district that you move to. Because there's a shortage of young leaders. Not every explorer becomes a young leader, and young leaders are incredibly helpful, incredibly useful for all units. I mean, particularly beavers because they're wild. But young leaders are incredibly useful. When I was a scout leader for a scout group, I relied on my young leaders to do really, really important stuff that basically one of them was a computer expert, and he was amazing. And he did all my computer stuff. And it was really useful. And I was like, how are you just so much better at this than me at 15? So, we find young leaders incredibly useful. So if you do young leading outside of the district you're in, you might get people in your district being a bit miffed.
Explorers.
I've already been asked to be a young leader by my neighbour.
That would be the cup leader, wouldn't it, Keith?
I've already been asked by two groups to be a young leader already.
Which group? Oh, yeah.
This group and Longford both want me to be a young leader. I think I'm going to pick this group, though. Much nicer.
I'd be really interested to stay. I don't really see... If I can stay here as a young leader, I don't really see explorers as a necessity.
Explorers, you do more camps, you get to do stuff on your own.
I know you get to do stuff, but...
I want to go to Explorers, personally. Right. I want to do that and young leading, occasionally.
Occasionally.
Well, being a young leader contributes to your Platinum Chief Scout.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't do a young leader role, you have to find another way to give back to the community.
Mm.
Not the scouting community, but your wider community. But young leading counts as part of your volunteer work for your Platinum Chief Scouts.
Does it count towards your, like,
Duke of Edinburgh?
Yeah, Duke of Edinburgh.
Don't know. I don't run a Duke of Edinburgh group.
So, it's 8:20 now. So, I am aware we're getting on. So, before we go, Mark, is there anything you would like to plug?
Anything I'd like to plug? If you're listening to this and you're not a leader, why aren't you a leader? Be a leader.
You get to do cool stuff.
Shopping
you get
straight,
to do cool
yeah.
stuff. And then go home and have a nice quiet cup of tea.
Can't you do that anyway?
You get to steal the kids for like and do the cool stuff, but then not have fun.
Thank you very much for agreeing to come on, Mark. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us.
I've had a lovely time, and I realise I'm probably a little more flippant than most guests, but I love scouting, and it's a pleasure to come on something like this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff is a podcast by Scouts, for Scouts and the wider Scouting community. You can follow us on Twitter at FirstPodScouts, and it's exactly the same on Facebook. Thanks for listening and carry on Scouting.